we do learn to mask our feelings. And that's a positive as far as when we get out and bump into each other, we're not, you know, always showing ourselves. But you're starting to see in some ways the feelings bubble to the top. And men and women who follow Jesus, we need to be honest with ourselves. And it's, I think we would all say, well, we know Christ died for all. But sometimes when people come in that ruffle our feathers, great line, it is really difficult to see them with the value that Christ sees them. You know, you've been in Thessaloniki how many years? 21 years. And I heard it. I don't know if you caught what she said at the beginning. They've been in Thessaloniki, right? You know, right there. And the Turks were there, and they were there, and everybody was out there, and all of a sudden they came here. And it changed everything. And I just pray blessings on you and Mike. And every day when you pray, you know, put the picture on the refrigerator, whatever you do. When you pray, let it be, you know, part of you. I'm going, you know. And when you see pictures, you know, when you see a little boy with kidney problems, I mean, it's a picture. But you can imagine that. And so I'm thinking about the subject today, celebration. And we're celebrating with you. Now, we started with the naos, which is the Greek word, right, for a temple, right? You saying? Yeah, there you go. Yeah, naos. Okay, so yeah. But the temple there. And Christ stood in front of the temple and said, you know, if it's torn down, in 3 days I can raise it again. And, you know, they're looking at him. What, you know, it took how many years to build the temple? But he wasn't talking about the temple, the naos, the physical temple. He's talking about, I'm the temple. And then he told us later, said, you're the temple, the Holy Spirit will live in you. And so that God is not kept in a box. He's not in the Holy of Holies, in the stone place that is the temple. He's in you. So wherever you go, Christ goes. And we think about these spiritual disciplines that we have that help us to be the naos. And we talk about prayer. And last week, remember what we talked about last week? We talked about solitude, you know, and yeah, and solitude, coming apart from the group as Jesus did. He was on the mountain to pray. He was there. He was with the Lord, visiting with his Father. And I think of the word celebration as an outward discipline as well. We celebrate all through Scripture. I love to read the Psalms. Psalm 100, you know, the Lord is God. Well, what a great thing. We are His. Or if you go to Psalm 107, don't turn there. It's an interesting psalm in that it talks about people who have been in the desert or the lonely place. And, you know, I think about this lady here, and she kissed the hand of the woman who was cooking, right? She had a miscarriage. She lives in a tent. And she was sitting in her tent and sob, right? And the only place she really got out to went to go to this church, and she went to this church and people cook food. And one day she was moved to kiss the hand of the lady who cooked. And, you know, the animosity and the things, when there's a kiss between people, all of a sudden, you can't hate anymore. And I think about, here's this lady. What an act of celebration. I'm in the desert. I've had the miscarriage. I live in the tent. I'm not even in my homeland. But I celebrate that you have cooked for me. And when we do the acts that Jesus gives us to do for others, it's a time of celebration, even in the desert place. But the main passage today was what Jacob read earlier, Philippians chapter 4. Thinking on the things, and I think about my own life, how I don't stop to celebrate, but it says there, rejoice, celebrate, let's see some joy. You know, let's really lift these things up to the Lord. Now, we're not going to do it today, but what a great idea to stay around all day and cook after church. You know, and we've done that, and we have occasions when we eat. You know, we ate Wednesday night, or we have a Thanksgiving thing coming up, and when we eat, people bring dishes together. Jim, it worked out well Wednesday night, didn't it? You know, it was really just a, you know, and we have all these things to eat, and there's always the comment, my plate's not big enough. Well, I tell you this, when you start to celebrate what the Lord does, you start to realize how your plate's not big enough to hold it. Or as Bill Gaither wrote, you know, my cup is here, my cup's overflowing. But just a quick two or three things. One clue to a life of celebration is having gentleness. Or maybe I could say it like this, getting along with others. And I had no idea Maria was going to talk about this morning. And, you know, how, you know, we have been trained to not even call people groups anymore. You know, we're trained not to, you know, say things because it's impolite. You know, we don't want even to talk about nationality too much. But in truth, we come from different places. Whether we're Pakistani or Turks or Greek or Irish or German or whatever we are. That's kind of where our ethnicity is. But the message of the gospel is that we're all one race. We're all sons and daughters of the Lord Most High. So getting along with others is pretty interesting. And you know, the world tends to treat gentleness as the opposite of being harsh or the opposite of being sarcastic or just mean. That is not really being gentle. That's just not doing bad things. Being gentle is when you see a person living in a tent who has no food, you take them food. That's being gentle. Christ was gentle. Is he gentle with your sins? Have you ever, I don't know if you do this, I'm kind of like this. Sometimes you start to recount thing, and Maria used the word guilty two or three times, and I hate that word. Yeah. But sometimes it's the measure of guilt comes over me. And the Lord reminds me of his compassion and how he has been gentle with me. A second thing here, replacing worry with prayer and thanksgiving. Now, worry is something I could be a professional at. I could be a professional worrier, but replacing with prayer and thanksgiving. Whenever you start to worry, celebrate. So Lord, instead of me focusing on what this issue that has floated into my life, I'm going to start celebrating everything you have done for me. Instead of looking at me being behind the rock here or below the circumstances, I'm going to remember all the times you've delivered me out of the circumstances. Or as Psalm 103 says, you have pulled me out of the pit. And I think about that, and I think about how we sometimes even pray disingenuous prayers. We pray dishonestly. Sometimes we start and we immediately bring our petitions to the Lord. He's the emergency valve. But we even sometimes give lip service. Lord, we praise you, but I'm just trying to get through the praise to get to my issues. Instead of fully having a heart of gratefulness before the Lord. Celebrate the Lord. Or third, sometimes I like this, think about what you should be thinking about. You know, I'm always thinking of the wrong things, you know, and just my mentality comes at life sometimes from those issues. But what should I be thinking about? There was a list in that scripture. What things are good? What is it going to profit you to think about? Where do you have your focus? And I want to fill my mind and my heart with those things and not allow Satan to use circumstances, political situations, whatever it might be, to rob me of my joy by robbing me of my thinking. I want to focus on the good things, the things the Lord has for me. I read in Romans chapter 7, and it says, in the King James, it uses this word, and you remember this word, and it kind of really speaks, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" And that's where I was. But thank God I'm not there anymore. I have been delivered. I'm not going to be a kingdom person. I am a kingdom person. And I'm ready to celebrate that. You know, I have an inheritance. And I walk out of the door sometimes, and I forget this. When I walk out of the door, I walk out with the weight of the world on my shoulders. And the Lord's saying, you don't have to have the weight of the world on your shoulders. You're a child of mine. And I can promise you this. If you were the son or the daughter of someone who had billions of dollars, you walk into places differently because you think, I've got the money to do anything. Well, we have more than billions. We have our Father who owns it all. And we ought to walk as if we have a Father who owns it all. Satan will not defeat me. I will celebrate and laugh in the face of things that come my way. I will not be defeated by this world or the circumstances of this world. So here are some things to celebrate, just a few things as we get ready to go here. Where have you been and where are you going? I was lost and undone, that's where I was. Or maybe this, I was walking with the Lord, but I still had prejudices and hate in me. And the Lord delivered me from those as well. The Lord showed me how that people that I did not think were worthy are worthy. Where were you? Where are you going? And, you know, if we allow the Lord, He will continue to chisel us and to mold us and to shape us into the person that He intended for us to be before sin wrecked our entire existence. Or what about this? What has God done and what is God doing? What has God done in you? Now, I don't know how many people we saw on the screen here, but in the scheme of things, it was this many, because there are this many, right? In the scheme of things, in this room this morning, there are this many, and really there are that many that need the Lord. But every person here, the boy with the kidney issue, the woman who had the miscarriage, the woman who cooked for the people, all these people represent a line and a family. And once the dominoes start to fall, it is amazing how God does not deal in pluses. He deals in multiplication. Somehow, some way, my dad came to the Lord. Now, he can give the testimony. He came to the Lord. And today, his children and his grandchildren know the Lord. That's multiplication. That's changing the existence of a family. Families coming as refugees can be changed for Christ when they meet the living Lord. What has God done and what is God going to do? Another thing we can celebrate is who God is and who God will always be. You know, that's the thing. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if we want to do a happy dance, we can praise the Lord for that. We don't have to worry about Him changing His mind. Or we don't have to worry about Him being in a bad mood or cranky and all that kind of stuff. He is the same. And He loves you, period. He's for you, period. And the Scripture says, if He can be for you, then you don't even need to worry about who's against you. Because if God is for us, nothing against us will prosper. Now that's something to celebrate. And let's don't fall on the whole personality disclaimer. You know, sometimes we read Psalm 95 and we read it like this. Oh, come and let's sing to the Lord, all the extroverts. All the ones who have the personality, you know, shout to the Lord. Well, we don't need to read it like it. It doesn't say the people who have that kind of personality. All of us shout to the Lord. All of us sing praises to Him. And let us shout joyfully to the Lord. If you're under 21 years old, no. Let us shout to the Lord, no matter where you are in life. Let us shout our way to eternity. Let the road be marked with celebration. Prayer, absolutely. Solitude, yes, we need that. But let the road to eternity be marked with celebration. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You. I thank You for what You are doing in our lives. And I thank You, Lord, as we see the pictures there that Maria brought us, just a taste of this mix of nationalities, the mix of people who've been taught to hate one another, coming together under one roof in the body of Christ. And some of these people have been coming to this church and still don't know the Lord, but they're coming to the church because God is there and the seeds are being planted. And I pray, Lord, that the seeds will be watered, whether people leave and go to Germany, wherever they are, Lord, the seed of the Word of God is in them. And I pray for the people who left the church because of the refugees who came in the church. Lord, they need to, you know, they need to have their hearts broken too. And I pray that You'll do a work in their lives. And Father, as we are here in this closing time, I pray that You'll help each one of us to look and see who the enemies in our life are. We may be uncomfortable naming them as enemies. We may not even think it's gone that far, but there are people who've ruffled our feathers, people who our personalities clash with, maybe people we don't know, people we just see on TV, and we see them as the enemy. And maybe they see us as the enemy. But Father, help us to overcome and still love people. Love them in the name of Christ. Thank you for celebration. Thank you for all that you have done and all that you will do. In the name of the Lord we pray. Amen and amen.